Usually, you'd call this the city that never sleeps. In my eyes, it does nothing but sleep on the rising criminal organizations, rolls over and turns a blind eye to the marshal and deputy's abuses of power, and it hits the snooze button on the blatant corporate corruption, bleeding into the downs from the skylines.
Stranger, what are you doing?
Me? Well, I'm just an independent investigator, not a detective, chasing leads and uncovering truths like a metaphor that I'll think of in a minute. There's not a stone or a metal sheet I leave unturned. I'm a man of pure will, sheer ambition.
Okay, no. No, you are not.
I could be, though.
Sure, but why?
Pennies. And I'm also taking credit now, since UAU started cashing out 150% on the coin.
That's it.
Well,
the amount of soul-crazed cases are skyrocketing!
And what? Are we just gonna ignore these new guys?
The media is lying about it. Ensign is covering it up.
There's been a change.
There will be loyalty before money and mercy.
In SCT, everyone's a player, but only a few get to deal the cards.
Someone is playing at a very dangerous game.
I wonder if you're a detective, or just another piece of the puzzle waiting to be solved.
I've never seen a pair of hands that weren't stained red in this city.
Oh, we got ourselves a killer over here.
Money talks, but power whispers, so listen carefully, stranger.
You were so sure you knew everything. But where has that led you?
You wanna go again?
You cannot stop us.
What even are you?
You're still nothing but a lie. A fake. Sunken Star, Ensign, they will crush you.
Mayday,
what
mayday,
do you know?
We're going down!
Answer me!
Some answers get you killed.
I'll break every bone in your body.
In SAT, everyone has a story. Some are just better at hiding it.
Who are you? What are you?
A man called Stranger. Available everywhere.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in.
Welcome or welcome back to Mystery Frequency. This week we're still celebrating our 1 year anniversary. So all this week I'll be playing new volumes of the original shows that I played, as well as answering questions that you guys have been asking me throughout the week. And speaking of questions, let's get that started. A few people have asked me if I enjoy film noir the same way I enjoy OTR, or old time radio. Easy. Yes, I do. In fact, The Maltese Falcon and The Naked City are some of my favorites. Let me know what some of yours are in the comments. I've also gotten a few questions about why I've started talking more in the episodes. The answer is, I enjoy talking about these shows. I enjoy giving a little backstory to them. And I also like to give reminders or even feedback about the show. Speaking of which, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to follow, review, and rate. And also check out the description for the show links. Now I think that's a great place to stop for now, and we'll finish up the rest of the questions on the next episode. So in the meantime,
please enjoy the show.
Dimension X. Adventures in time and space. Transcribed in future tense.
Dimension X.
On stage tonight, Dimension X. Another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations.
I don't mean to be too personal, mind you, but have you found out how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11? It's really very easy to find out, you know, and it's mighty worthwhile. Now, what you do is this. Come breakfast time some morning real soon. Dish yourself up a bowl of Wheaties. Crisp, golden flakes, 100% whole wheat. Add some fruit, add milk, and you'll be getting some real nourishment. And at 11 a.m., I think you'll begin to understand why. Because Wheaties Habit, the whole wheat energy that makes such a difference come mid-morning. Wheaties Habit, and it's for you. Now see if you don't look better, feel better, smile easier every day that breakfast begins with Wheaties. I know, I do. See for yourself how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. It's amazing, really.
Do you remember when you were young, how your elders would tell you bedtime stories about the man in the moon? Well, tonight we have a different kind of story to tell about him. A story of suspense in the unknown world of the future, where anything can happen.
Attention. Attention. This is the Federal Bureau of Missing Persons calling all local agencies. Attention. This is a coded report nationwide. Missing since 9 o'clock this morning the following persons. Smidgley, Jonathan, 5 feet 8 inches tall, brown hair, brown eyes, mastoid... Hey, get off this wavelength. This is a restricted band. Look, whoever you are, you're on a coded wavelength. Now tune out. This frequency is reserved for the Federal Bureau of Missing Persons.
Hello, Earth. This is the moon calling Earth. Hello, Earth.
This guy's loony. Transmitting room.
Jake in transmission.
Jake, this is Charlie in a code room. Some crackpot's on our frequency.
Yeah, I heard him, Charlie. I've got CQ trying to trace it now.
Yeah, well, hurry it up, will you? Some ham's in for a good stiff fine by the FCC.
They ought to take his license away. Here comes Lenny with a directional fix.
Here you are, Jake. I checked it 4 times.
What? But this is impossible, and you know it.
I can't help it.
Hey, what's going on down there? How about it? Get that ham out of my killer cycle.
Listen, Charlie. That interference is being beamed from 240,000 miles away.
Oh, now, Jake, you know there ain't no such thing as 240,000 miles away.
Oh, yes, there is, Charlie. Straight up.
Straight. Hey, now, wait a minute.
Charlie, that signal's coming from the moon.
Are you nuts?
Somebody might be bouncing it like a radar signal.
Radar? On this frequency? Where did you study basic radio?
Listen, flathead. You asked for a fix. I gave the best fix our instruments can find. Now take it or leave it. Somebody on the moon is calling the Bureau of Missing Persons.
Mr. Timken, what's the sweat, Charlie? Shouldn't you be broadcasting?
Now, listen, Mr. Timken, you know I'm a sober citizen, right? Never once have I broadcast with the smell of alcohol on my breath, right? In all your 12 years here at the Bureau,
What's the matter, Charlie?
We're picking up a message on our wavelength.
Well, did you report to the FCC?
I ain't got the nerve.
Well, what's wrong?
You'll scream when you hear this, Mr. Timken. You'll jump right out the window, but we are getting an SOS from the moon. Started on voice and switched to Morse.
What did he say?
Let's see now. Can you read me? Help Otterburn. Will contact when the moon is in phase.
Otterburn.
Sounds like a name.
Otterburn. Otterburn. Holy jumping Jehoshaphat.
Hey, where are you going?
To talk to the chief.
Hey, now, wait a minute. What are you going to tell him? We just got a CQ from the man in the moon?
That's exactly what I'm going to tell him, Charlie.
What? Oh, no. This is too much for me. Let me have O'Brien on the city desk, huh?
One moment. O'Brien speaking.
Seamus?
Yeah?
This is Charlie Starbuck down at the Missing Persons Bureau. You want a hot one? No kidding. This will cost you a beer, okay?
Shoot, Buck. I'll stay in your wavelength for 30 seconds.
Yeah, okay. We just got a radio message from the moon.
What?
From the moon.
Call me back when you're sober.
Okay, Seamus, if you don't know a story when you see one.
I'll send you the name of a good psychiatrist.
Dad.
So long, Orson Welles.
Orson Welles? Hey, how do you like that? You don't believe me.
Otterburn, Mr. Wade. Does that name ring a bell?
You're the man with the photographic memory, Henry. What about Otterburn?
Cornelius Otterburn. atomic physicist, reported missing from his home in Baltimore on June 5th, 1945, just 5 years ago. Vanished completely.
Are you trying to tell me you really think there's something to this man on the moon business?
Henry, I'm surprised at you.
This is some crackpot trying to jam the airwaves.
But the name Otterburn is so unusual.
So are a lot of names.
But, Mr. Wade, I have a theory.
Henry, you always have a theory.
But, Mr. Wade...
Out, Henry.
Mr. Wade...
Out. I'm busy.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, Henry. Oh, here, take this folder of reports for the dead file.
Oh, yes, sir.
And no more nonsense, eh, Henry? I appreciate that you have a very dull job filing old missing person reports, and I appreciate that you take an active interest in the affairs of the Bureau, but no more nonsense, hmm?
No, sir, Chief. No more nonsense. Oh!
Pardon me.
Hmm?
Are you Mr. Henry Timken?
That's my name.
Permit me, Jefferson Philo, scientific feature writer. May I have a moment of your time?
Certainly. Just sit down at my desk right over here.
Thank you. My, that's quite a stack of papers.
Filing. Filing. I'm the records custodian of the Bureau. 12 years and never misplaced a record.
Magnificent. Now, Mr. Timken.
Yes?
Mr. O'Brien, the editor of the Star Ledger, said I might drop by and investigate a rumor. Only a rumor, mind you. That a message from the, moon?
Well, we aren't certain it's from the moon. It may be a bounce. They have bounced radar waves off the moon, you know.
Yes, I know. I wrote the first newspaper article on it.
Oh, really? Well, I'd be interested to read it.
I must have a copy in my briefcase.
Well, don't bother.
Oh, but I insist. There you are. I'll leave it on your desk.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, about this message from the moon, Mr. Timken.
Well, we don't know for sure, as I said, but I believe that this message, wherever it originates, is from Cornelius Otterburn.
The physicist?
Oh, you know him.
I once wrote an article on his contribution to nuclear mechanics. A brilliant man, Otterburn, years ahead of his contemporaries.
Now, whoever is sending those signals, if he isn't on the moon, is at least using the moon as a sounding board, bouncing the signal.
But why, Mr. Timken? Why?
Look here, Mr. Philo. If you will come here tomorrow night at 8, we may learn the answer to that question. I have arranged with Charlie, our radio man, to let me use the equipment.
May I consider this an invitation?
You certainly may.
Very well, sir. Until tomorrow night, then. Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, Mr. Philo. Goodbye. Lack-a-day. Let me see now. That's funny. Where did this list of names come from? Paul Ahrens, astromathematician. Robert Simons, electronic engineer. Carl Parker, mining specialist. Oh, this must have got mixed up with the papers on my desk by accident. It's a peculiar list of names. Most peculiar.
Oh, Hans Timken. I see we made the papers.
Oh?
And how? Mr. Chief steamed up about it.
What did the paper say?
Mostly ha-ha. Here's the Herald.
Oh?
Oh, brother, what a panic.
Uh-huh. Oh, dear. Oh, my. No wonder Mr. Wade is hopping.
About tonight, Mr. Timken, I don't know.
Now, you promised you'd give me a key to the radio room,
Charlie. Yeah, but I didn't expect this.
Listen, Charlie, we've got to find out if there's something to that message. If Otterburn is alive somewhere and radioing for help,
Hold it. Time for the morning broadcast. We've got quite a list today.
Well, do you mind if I listen a while? We may hear Otterburn.
Oh, I ain't self-conscious. Stick around.
Attention. Attention. This is the Federal Bureau of Missing Persons calling all local agencies nationwide. This is a coded broadcast. The following persons are missing. Ahrens, Dr. Paul, 5'5". Brown hair, brown eyes, scar on left side of chin.
Ahrens.
Thick glasses. Occupation, astro-mathematician. Missing since 6 o'clock this morning. Being sought by Bel Air Police.
Charlie.
Repeat, Dr. Paul Ahrens.
Charlie, shut it up a second.
Oh, now listen, Mr. Timken. It's okay to stay, but you can't interrupt.
This is important. Now, what time was Dr. Ahrens reported missing?
6 a.m. We got the report from Bel Air less than an hour ago.
Are you certain, Charlie?
Yeah, positive. What is this?
Charlie, what's the next name on the list?
Let's see. Simons, Robert.
What?
Engineer, came in less than 20 minutes ago.
20? What's the matter with you? You look like you've seen a ghost. Nothing, Charlie. Except that last night, quite by accident, someone left a list of names on my desk, and that list included the names of those two men who weren't reported missing until an hour ago.
What? Yeah, that don't sound right to me.
It isn't right, Charlie. Which raises a question. Who would make up a list of missing persons before they were missing, not after?
Dimension X will continue in just a moment. You know, friends, when I talk about Wheaties Breakfast of Champions, I mean something like this. Champions do eat Wheaties because they feel Wheaties give them energy they need and because they just plain like the way Wheaties taste. And even though they are champions, that isn't unusual. Sort of the way you and I look at it, isn't it? Here's Ed Prentice with a perfect illustration of my meaning.
Now, young man, will you tell us what you do for a living?
I pitch.
You what?
Pitch. You know, baseball. To have a baseball team, you have to have a pitcher. I'm a pitcher. I pitch.
Oh, yes, I see. And are you on a team?
Yes, sir. I'm on the Cleveland Indians.
Cleveland Indians, What is your name, young man?
I'm Bob Feller, and you know it as well as I do, Ed.
Sure I do, Bob. It's good to see you. This makes your 14th season playing with the Indians, doesn't it?
Yep, Ed. 14 years.
Well, tell me, Bob, how long have you been eating Wheaties?
Oh, about 20 years, give or take a couple.
You mean you started eating Wheaties before you started playing ball?
Why, of course. What's so strange about that? Most people start eating Wheaties before they get to playing ball. In fact, most people never start playing baseball. You don't have to be a ball player to enjoy the lift you get from Wheaties with milk and fruit.
You're right as rain, Bob. No champ ever said a truer word about Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions.
And you say this list of names was left on your desk accidentally?
I believe so, Mr. Wade.
Do you have any ideas?
Well, it's hard to say. Mr. Philo left some papers from his briefcase.
Mr. Philo?
A science feature writer.
I see. Hey, you were the leak on the story, then.
Oh, yes, sir, I'm afraid I was. I didn't think it would be treated as a laughingstock. We'll deal with that later.
What's this Philo like?
Well, he's strange. Bald, thick glasses, tall, seems to know a great deal about scientific data, but being a science writer...
Is there any other possibility?
I don't know. But I do believe that this is all hooked up with the broadcast from Otterburg.
That seems like a very remote possibility.
A missing persons bureau deals in remote possibilities, Mr. Wade.
I do not require a statement of policy. What's the theory?
Mr. Wade, I have discovered that each year literally thousands of persons vanish, leaving no trace. They are never located. Where do they go? Nobody knows.
And?
They disappear in interesting cycles.
What sort of cycles?
Occupations, for example. One year we'll have a run on, say, coal miners. Next year the proportion of engineers increases, then scientists...
What do you think happens, Henry?
I don't know, Mr. Wade. But I'm beginning to suspect that somebody else has discovered the same phenomenon. Even to the point, perhaps, of being able to predict who will turn up among the missing next.
Philo?
I don't know. But I would like to find out.
And you think Audubon may be a part of this picture?
I definitely do, Mr. Wade.
Henry, do you honestly expect me to buy an idea like that?
It's more than an idea. The two top men on this list are missing.
Maybe so. But the rest of them aren't. Parker, Watson, Gibbs.
Well,
I saw Parker in the restaurant where I had lunch today.
Yes, sir, but
and if
look,
you think I'm going to make myself a laughingstock by putting any belief in such a crack-brained theory?
Well,
excuse me.
Yes.
Hello, Wade speaking. Yes? Yes, I see. What name? Just a moment. Henry, let me see that list again.
Oh, yes, sir. Here you are, sir.
Go ahead. I see. I'll get back to you. I guess I owe you an apology, Henry.
Yeah. Sir?
Carl Parker was just reported missing.
Parker?
The third man on your list.
Holy mackerel.
Exactly. Henry, perhaps I've underestimated you. Maybe this time you really stumble onto something.
What do you intend to do, Mr. Wade?
I don't know.
You haven't thought it out yet.
I was planning to listen for another broadcast tonight in the hope that Otterburn might try to contact us again.
I'll join you.
I also invited Mr. Philo, the science feature writer.
Oh. I'll be glad to meet him. I'm beginning to get interested in your Mr. Philo.
Mr. Wade, you don't think...
that he's mixed up in this? I don't know, Henry.
Well, Mr. Wade, let's contact the police.
No, Henry, I think we're better off keeping this between ourselves for the moment. I don't want the police slapping at the bureau if you're wrong.
I don't know, Mr. Wade.
Besides, there may be more danger than you realize. Let's keep it quiet. Shall we, Henry?
Yes, sir. I didn't realize there was any danger.
Friend Mr. Filer was late.
He said he'd be here, sir.
The moon is almost in direct phase. You can't wait much longer. You'd better switch on the set.
Yes, sir.
I left a light in the hall for Mr. Filer when he comes. Are you getting anything?
Just some foreign stuff.
Programming from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Oh, no, dear. That's a very peculiar transmission sound.
Earth.
That sounds like something. See if I can work the selector here.
The moon is in phase.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Earth, can you hear me?
I'll try to return. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Earth.
Hello, do you hear me?
I get you now. Thank God.
Who are you? Can you hear me? Who are you?
This is Professor Cornelius Otterburn. Hello?
Go on. I hear you.
Not much time. They're on me. They've located my sending point. You hear me?
Go ahead, keep talking.
I've only enough oxygen for a few minutes more.
Well, where are you?
I'm on the Earth side of the moon. You get that? The Earth side of the moon. A volcanic crater.
Good Lord.
Start that recorder, Mr. Wade. Go on, explain, please. Explain, please.
There's an Earth colony on the moon. There is an Earth colony on the far side of the moon. Made up of renegade scientists and criminals. Professor Ernst Hoffman.
Hoffman, he died in an insane asylum in 1938.
Professor Ernst Hoffman.
Go ahead. We're recording you.
Each year, they recruit new colonists from Earth. Slave labor, mostly. Some women, scientists. The oxygen problem is a big one. I was kidnapped in 1945.
Yes, we know. Keep talking.
They wanted me to work on atomic drive with that line in. Hello?
We're still getting you. Go on. Speak louder.
Getting weaker. We pulled what little oxygen we had. The others, dead now. Like God, I reached you. You've got to stop them. Stop them.
Stop who?
The moon colony. Planning to take over the Earth. Listen, they have agents on Earth. Hear me?
Agents on Earth? Well, where? Who? Hello? Hello?
Agents in...
Henry, look out.
The light.
Someone at the window. Get back. Henry, are you all right?
I think so. Oh, his shot smashed the transmitter.
Strike a match. Careful.
Whew, that was close.
I got a look at him. From the description, it was your Mr. Philo.
Well, we got a recording anyway, but not the most important part of the message.
Henry, we've got to get you out of here. You said they have agents. Philo's probably one of them. He'd be looking for you now, trying to kill you.
The police...
You think the police would believe a fantastic story like this? People being kidnapped to the moon as slave labor? Moon colony planning an invasion of the Earth? Henry, believe me, they'd clap us into straitjackets before we finish.
We've got to do something.
We need time. Time to get proof.
Well, if we can't walk out of here, Philo's probably waiting.
We can only figure some way. Wait, I know.
How?
Listen. There's a service elevator that leads to the basement garage. My car is there.
Mr. Wade, let's
go. By the time
the
police get here, we'll be dead. You think Philo will wait outside all night? Come on. This is the basement. Come on. Keep to the side.
Yes, sir.
Here's the car. All right, Henry. You open the garage door, then jump into the car. We'll make a dash for it.
But where can we go?
I have a farm outside Chevy Chase. It's private, miles from the nearest neighbor and completely hidden by trees. We'll run for that. Go ahead, start the door.
All right, Mr. Wade.
Quick, jump in.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Cross your fingers, Henry.
We made it out all right. Anything doing?
Well, there's a blue coupe behind us. It seems to be following.
I'll cut up Pennsylvania Avenue and out Route 1 toward Baltimore.
It is following. He turned with us. Can you go faster?
Not much faster.
He's gaining on us.
I've got an idea. Hang on, Henry.
Yes, sir. Why did you stop?
Turn off the lights, quick. It worked. He shot right past us. Now we'll double back and go out another route. I think everything's going to be all right now. We can be at my farm in less than an hour.
This place is really out in the wilderness, Mr. Wade.
You can stay here indefinitely till we figure out the next move. Just up this dirt road now, there's a big abandoned wheat silo on my grounds. It's down in a hollow where it can't be seen except from the air. And even then, the oak trees shield it. I'll hide you out there. And we can leave the car here. We'll go to the scene. Come on.
How did you ever find this place, Mr. Wade?
I've always liked seclusion. Came up here to get away from it all. There's the silo.
Well, it's certainly well hidden.
There's a small door around the side. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Oh, careful of those bushes. It's hard to see them in the dark.
Do you suppose Philo will find us?
I assure you, Henry, that Mr. Philo will never find us here. Not in a million years. Here's the door.
It's pitch dark.
Hold my arm. I know the way. Just a few steps up. Then another door.
Yes. Steel. This is an unusual silo. Double walls, wood outside, steel inside.
Completely fired. An army couldn't wreck it. We're inside the inner shell. Careful. You're in a circular room. Stay here a moment. I'll go outside and see if the coast is clear. In a moment, your eyes will become accustomed to the darkness. I'll bring back some food and water.
Well, don't be long, Mr. Wade. This place gives me the willies.
I'll just be a moment.
Yes, sir. Mr. Wade. Mr. Wade. I swear I hear something. Mr. Wade. Seth. There is something. Good Lord. There's someone here. It's locked. Oh, no. Oh, this must be a light switch. Oh, thank God. Oh, no. People. 10, 15, 20 of them. Mr. Wade! Help! Help!
We're doing all good to shout, Henry.
Mr. Wade, where are you?
Outside, speaking over the intercom.
Mr. Wade, there are people in here. 15 or 20 of them. They're sitting like statues just staring at me.
They'll hurt you, Henry. They've all been drugged. They're even more helpless than you.
Yes, but who are they?
Permit me to introduce them, Henry, since they're currently unable to introduce themselves. The gentleman seated before you is Dr. Paul Ahrens, the astro-mathematician.
Ahrens?
Next to him is Mr. Robert Simons, electronic engineer.
Name's on the list.
Yes. They've all been recruited for work with Professor Halsman's group on the moon.
On the moon? Then you're one of them?
Of course. You'll turn around, Henry. You'll recognize the drugged form of your old friend, Mr. Philo.
Philo? But I thought...
That he was part of the conspiracy? No, on the contrary. His stooping made it necessary for me to include him.
Yes, but the man in the window, the one who fired the shot.
An agent of mine, the pilot of this ship.
Ship? What ship?
This silo is a camouflage for a rocket launching platform. In a moment, the roof will slide back for the rocket's takeoff.
A rocket ship?
In exactly 70 hours, you and your companion will join Professor Otterburn. On the moon.
But you can't do this to me.
We haven't done it, Henry.
No!
You see, there was another name or medicine that list which was carelessly mixed up with your papers. That of Henry Timken.
No!
Bon voyage.
No, I won't let you do this. You can't.
Attention. Attention. Missing since 8 o'clock last night, the following person. Timken Henry, age 45, height 5 feet 8, brown eyes, slightly balding.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Wheaties presents Dimension X.
Adventures in time and space. Transcribed in future tense.
Dimension X. On stage tonight, Dimension X. Another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations.
If you're a mother or a father with a warm spot in your heart for pink-cheeked, happy-eyed youngsters, here's something you should know. Good food builds good health, and Wheaties are good food. Now, I don't know what you've been doing about breakfast for the kids, but did you know that every Wheaties flake is a kernel of wheat? With the sunny, whole-hearted goodness of field-grown wheat in every flake? With the full strength of whole wheat vitamins, minerals, proteins in every flake? Well, it's true. Whole wheat in all its richness. That's what you furnish when you fill the cereal bowl with Wheaties. But don't slip up. See that they get Wheaties. Crisp, sunshiny, good. Pour on the milk, put on the fruit, and know the youngsters are getting all that whole wheat can give. Do that now. Wheaties. Breakfast of champions.
Now, tonight's adventure into the unknown. Into the world of Dimension X. Somewhere in Europe, a man is walking through the darkness down a cobblestone street. It's early evening still, only a little past 8. But the street is strangely deserted. He pauses, looks behind him, then knocks quietly on a door.
Yes?
Is Engineer Wensler in?
What is it, please?
Mrs. Wensler?
Yes.
I'm selling brushes. We have a nice line of brooms. They sweep well.
Do they sweep the little or the large?
Both. They're especially fine for the large.
Come in. What cell are you in?
I'm not with the underground. I'm an American, newspaper correspondent. Oh. It's all right. Chief Nine said I should see your husband. He gave me the password. Look, you know the Americans are on your side.
Well, I don't know. My husband is not home at the moment. If I...
Eva, who is it?
Someone to see Alan, Father.
Oh.
My father-in-law knows nothing. Don't see anything which might disturb him.
Okay.
You wish to see my son, Mr...
Arnold. Yes, a friend asked me to look him up.
Mr. Arnold is an American correspondent, Father.
Oh, an American... It is not often I have had the chance to talk to an American these days.
Things have changed, haven't they?
Yes. These last few years, we have been out of touch with the world. I was working in my laboratory, Mr. Arnold. Would you care to come in while you wait for my son?
Father, not the laboratory.
Ava, we cannot ask our guest to sit alone in the library. And besides, I would like to talk. Huh? This way, please.
Thank you.
Mr. Arnold, I know nothing of politics. My only interest is science. Come, I will show you what we are doing. A most interesting experiment. Really, very interesting.
Oh, that
Vince now.
Oh, this is Dr. Erickson, my associate. Dr. Erickson, Mr. Arnold.
An American.
Yes.
Dr. Rensselaer, is it advisable to allow strangers in the laboratory?
Oh, Mr. Arnold, it's my son's friend.
Dr. Rensselaer, you will recall that the last directive...
It has no bearing on the work we are doing. Our experiment is in the field of pure science. It has no military application.
But the directive says...
Dr. Erickson, may I remind you that I am still in charge of this laboratory.
Very well. If you will excuse me, I want to test the new diatomic catheter.
I will do that.
Sorry, Dr. Wensler. I'm afraid your friend Erickson doesn't like my looks.
Oh, no, no. It's not that. It's just that he's worried. He's worried for me. Afraid that someone will misinterpret your visit and report me to the authorities. He's my most loyal and trusted assistant. But he tends to exaggerate the danger.
Well, I hope you're right, Doctor. Say, this is some setup you've got here. Uh-huh. That 10-foot plastic cylinder, what's that for?
Every experiment must have a focal point, and that transparent cylinder is ours.
Mm-hmm.
The objects upon which we wish to work are placed inside and brought under the catalyzed beam over here.
Eva!
That's Alan now. Excuse me, I go and tell him.
What is this experiment you're working on, Dr. Wensler?
A very interesting new problem. You say you are not a physicist or engineer, Mr. Arnold?
No, I'm not, but I can follow you, if that's what you mean.
Yes. Well, you have been working with the problem of subatomic particles. Now, in attempting to manipulate them, to bring them closer to each other, we have discovered that we can shrink objects, reduce them in size.
Well, that's very interesting. Uh-huh. How much can you reduce them? Half size?
Oh, much more. It can make objects become microscopic and still retain their characteristics.
Doesn't seem possible.
It can make them even smaller, much smaller. Theoretically, in fact, down to atomic dimensions.
Well, as I said before, I'm no expert, Dr. Wensler, but tell me, what's the point? What good does it do to shrink anything down to that size?
You do not understand. Man has never actually seen an atom. But if we can reduce a camera and recording instruments to the atom size, then we would know the secrets of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, there you are, Mr. Arnold.
Oh, hello, Alan.
You can't be interested in this. Why don't we go into the study and talk?
But Mr. Arnold is interested.
Well, sir, maybe I'd better talk to Alan at that.
Excuse me, Dr. Wensler. Yes? I mean to ask you if you think you can get along without me for a few minutes. There's something I must do. It's important.
Yes. So long as it will not take too much time.
No,
it
won't take me long. It has been a pleasure, Mr. Arnold. I shall see you soon, I hope.
Yeah, sure. Okay, Alan, let's go talk.
Your credentials seem to be in order, Mr. Arnold. I talked to our chief after Eva explained why you were here. I don't agree with him.
Alan, you think the chief of your cell would have let me come here if he didn't think I was trustworthy and could help?
I know, but...
Public opinion can't be marshaled overnight, you know. Not even in America. Suppose the revolution is successful.
It will be.
All right. Your only chance to make it stick will be in recognition by our government. And immediate help. Now, my stories can do a lot to lay the foundation for that. And with the date of the uprising so near...
You know too much, Mr. Arnold, if this should leak to the secret police.
Don't worry about it. It's my neck as much as yours.
Hmm. What do you think, Eva?
Chief Nine said he was to be given the fullest cooperation.
Very well, then. What do you want to know?
Question one. What makes you think this revolution really has a chance? You can't fight tanks and guns with just your bare hands.
Mr. Arnold, we believe the Wensler machine can solve our biggest problem.
What's that?
How to collect arms without being attacked by the secret police.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see.
Now, suppose we could reduce all our equipment. Electronic guns, ray gas, anti-tank blaster. Anything which could be brought in unassembled. Reduce it to so small a size that a woman's handbag could hold enough to equip a regiment. You see what that would mean?
Yeah, sure. No one would think of looking for a cannon in...
Precisely. But Father's machine and the cylinder were necessary for the reduction. That's why our supply depot is right here.
Here?
Yes. When the day arrives, we'll enlarge the arms and pass them out.
Yes, but where's the stuff now?
Eva.
Yeah.
Please get me that model from the mantel.
Oh, of course. Here you are.
Take a look at this, Mr. Arden.
Well, that's a... That's a model of an anti-tank blaster, complete to every detail.
Not a model, Mr. Arnold. This is an anti-tank gun, reduced in the cylinder by the Wenzler process. At the proper time, we shall enlarge it, wheel it out through the garage, and set it up. When the men assemble, we pass out the rest of the arms, and we have our revolution. A division of men, properly armed, can take the city.
Let's get back to the laboratory. Father will think it odd that we have been gone so long.
Oh, I was wondering where you were, Alan. I don't know what's keeping Erickson. He should have been back long ago. I need some help on this circuit.
Of course, Father. What are you doing?
Erickson, I have amplified the effect by putting another diatomic catalyzer into phase. I want to give a test run, Alan, if you will bring one of the animals from the cage.
Yes, Father.
Animals?
Yes, we are experimenting over the reduction of living animals, guinea pigs.
How does it work?
Those we diminish to microscopic size return unharmed. But those sent down to the atomic dimension,
yeah,
the cylinder returns. But there's nothing inside, nothing.
So, Dr. Winslow, have you ever tried it on a human being?
I tried to persuade Father to send me down to find out what's making the animals vanish.
No, Alan.
But, Father, we've installed high-frequency radio communication now. If anything started to go wrong with me, I could tell you in time to reverse the process.
No, I will never permit it.
All right. Guinea pigs it is, then. But someday, Daddy. Father, I... Yes, dear?
Come to the window.
What is it?
That man, the one in the raincoat. He has been standing in that doorway across the street ever since I looked out the window.
What of it?
I don't like it, Alan. He has been standing there just looking at our house.
Oh?
Alan, do you think it is?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Eva?
Yes?
You know what we planned in this eventuality.
Yes.
Get the arms and the provisions. We can't afford to take a chance.
All right, Alan.
Now, what is it, my son? What is
it? Father, it's better for you not to know too much, but I'm a member of the underground.
No.
Eva, too. We have... Well, we have some contraband hidden in the house. We'll have to put it in the cylinder.
Contraband? What do you mean?
Arms, Father. Arms and provisions for an army reduced to 1/40 its size.
Alan...
Yes, we must put them in the cylinder and warm up the machine. If it is the secret police, we'll make the arms invisible, microscopic in size.
Can I help?
If you wish, Mr. Arnold, you can help my wife get the supplies.
Okay.
Alan!
What is it, Eva?
Two police cars are just around the corner. They're full of men.
That changes matters. Father, you'll have to operate the machine yourself. Eva and I are getting into the cylinder.
No, Alan, you can't. It's too dangerous.
It's the only way, Father. Those are the secret police.
Dimension X will continue in just a moment.
Tomorrow morning, get up and get at 'em with Wheaties to help. Now, does that sound as if I just made it up? Well, listen, folks. It's real. It's so. If you'll pour the Wheaties into a bowl tomorrow morning, if you'll pour on cold milk and put on the fruit you like best, if you'll do these things, you can honestly feel a difference all morning long. And here's why. Every golden Wheaties flake, every flake, is made from a grain of wheat. That's why every flake of Wheaties gives you full whole wheat vitamins and minerals and the amazing energy you'll notice still with you by 11 in the morning. You simply cannot miss, because it's a fact. You do better by yourself on a better breakfast. Whatever your job, if you'll start the morning with a reasonable meal, you should find yourself working better, feeling better, even looking better all morning long. Yep. 7 o'clock Wheaties, 11 o'clock still feeling good and working happy. You try it now. Not somebody else, but you. You may be pounding a rug or pounding a typewriter tomorrow morning at 11. You may be driving a tractor or driving a bargain. But you're going to feel the difference with Breakfast of Champions tucked inside. You try it. Really now. See how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
Atomic catalyzer ready?
Ready. Set at 0.034.
Good. All right, Eva. Get in the cylinder.
Alan, I can't let you take the chance, Alan. Isn't it enough to make the supplies disappear?
Not for the secret police. They must know something, otherwise they wouldn't be here.
But how could they prove anything?
No, Father. Every man has his breaking point. And I can't afford to gamble with the lives of others. I don't know how I'd react on the torture.
Torture?
Oh, Father, you are naive. But don't worry, you'll be safe. Everyone knows you aren't interested in politics. Mr. Arnold is an American. Perhaps that will protect him.
They're coming now.
Oh, my son, what have you done?
There's no time for recriminations now, Father. I'm getting in with Ava. Arnold, will you help my father with the machine and after?
Yes, I'll do whatever I can.
Thank you. Now, take us down to submicroscopic size.
Yes.
Hold us down until the police have gone. Tell them we've left. They won't dare meddle with the machine. Tell them it will mean death to anyone who gets in the way of the beam. When they're gone, bring us back up. I'll maintain radio silence until I hear from you.
Very well, my son.
There they are. The machine's warmed up. Move over, Ava. I'm coming in.
Let me... Nothing.
I've switched on the radio. If you can hear me, secure the porthole, Arnold.
Okay, we hear you. Porthole secure.
Ready, Father?
Yes. Are the oxygen then? Tanks all right?
Ava? Yes.
They're breaking down the door.
Atomic setting 034. Preliminary release. Temperature?
27 degrees centigrade. 760 millimeters pressure. Hurry, Father.
Very well. Now. Ray count.
Alpha 4. Beta 16. Gamma 0.12. Temperature 30 centigrade. Pressure 1100.
Be careful.
Holy mackerel. The cylinder's only 3 feet high.
Open that door. Temperature 36. Pressure 1800.
It's getting too high. I can't do it. Stand by to reverse.
No. The temperature and pressure show signs of stabilizing. Now 38 and 2,000. Make setting at angstrom 5, 10 times to the third.
That's a small.
We can't afford to take chances.
Only 3 inches high.
It's all right, Father. Temperature and pressure beginning to drop.
Thank God.
A half inch high.
Oh, they're coming. They're coming, Alan.
Goodbye, Father. God bless you. If anything happens, it isn't your fault. Remember, this is my doing. Ava, switch off.
Yes, sir.
Leave
those men.
Yes,
come on. Stop! Don't come near the beam.
Aye.
No, this machine is in operation and can kill anyone coming within range.
Shut off that machine.
The machine cannot be shut off until it reaches nadir. A sudden reversal would cause an explosion and take us all with it.
You there. Who are you?
Who, me? Just a friend of the family.
Arrest him?
Now, you get your hands off me. Let go of me.
Now, Dr. Wensler, your son and his wife, where are they? Answer me, you old fool.
They
left a few minutes before you came.
Left? Jan, I told you to watch all the exits.
We did, Commander. Mouse could not have escaped. I swear it by the leader.
They are not here. You, what do you know of this?
I told you, they left some time ago.
Keep an eye on them. Keep away from that machine. Jan.
Yes, sir.
Send out a general alarm.
Yes, Commander.
Dr. Wensler, yes. Who are your son's friends?
Please. Commander, let me finish my experiment. I know nothing about my son's activities or his friends. I swear it. I know nothing about politics.
So?
I must stay here until this experiment is finished. It is too dangerous to be left unattended.
Very well. But take the American to headquarters. The rest of you, search the house.
Look here, I'm an American citizen. I demand...
Erickson!
Yes, my dear Wensler. Have you found him, Commander?
Erickson. You have betrayed me.
I am a member of the League of Loyal Scientists. Your son is the traitor, not I. Have you found him, Commander?
No. We have searched the house. Nothing. They swear the son and his wife escaped before we arrived.
That is ridiculous. They were here when I left. People do not vanish into thin air...
Then where are they?
Right under your nose, Commander.
What?
They're in the cylinder, of course, under the beam there. That is the only place they could be. Allow me to handle the controls. You shall have your prisoners in 5 minutes.
I see. Very clever, Dr. Wensler. Very clever. All right, Erickson. You take charge of the machine.
You spy, you traitor.
Don't let him touch that dial. Oh. Grab him.
You. There.
He has set it for subatomic dimension.
What does that mean?
Whatever is in that cylinder has become as small as the atom.
Then shut it off!
It has almost reached nadir. We must wait 10 seconds, then reverse polarities. The machine has reached nadir. Angstrom 10 to the minus 11. We must now wait 10 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I don't know. Something must have gone wrong.
Alan, look out there.
Why, it's the solar system.
It's coming at us so fast. Look, the sun.
The sun? No, that can't be. Eva, that's the nucleus of an atom. We've reached the subatomic dimension. That sun is the nucleus, and those planets are the electrons revolving about it.
That planet coming up at us, there on the other side of the sun, I mean the nucleus, is...
An electron. It's growing in size. They're heading straight for it.
They're coming down on it. They are going to land.
Well, I guess we finally reached the nadir. We haven't shrunk for the past 2 or 3 hours.
Where are we?
I don't know. Somewhere in a valley between the mountains of a huge electronic ring.
It's almost funny, resting on the surface of an electron.
Look. The soil under the floor of the cylinder.
It looks like vegetation.
Yes. Moss. Like it. That's the last of the air. I've been expecting it to go out for the past 2 days. We have, perhaps, a half hour more. Eva, dearest.
I know.
There is one chance. That vegetation. That means there must be some sort of atmosphere on this electronic planet. We have to take that chance. Eva, are you willing to step out of the cylinder with me?
Of course, my dearest. For whither thou goest, I will go. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will...
We haven't much time. Ready?
Ready. All right. Open the porthole.
Seven, eight, nine, ten. All right, 10 seconds. I shall now reverse polarity. I see something.
The cylinder?
Yes, there it is. Just a few seconds more and it will become normal size.
A foot high.
Keep that man quiet. Ah, grows very rapidly.
Yes, 3 feet high. 4. Now, there you are, Commander. And in a moment, you will see your prisoners.
Get the door open.
Yes, sir. There is no door, my Commander.
No door? Erickson.
But there must be.
No, sir. Nothing but a gas valve.
You are right. Nothing but violet gas.
That's impossible.
Where are your son and his wife?
We told you they left the house some time ago.
That is a lie. Where are they?
I do not know.
Erickson, open that valve.
Let the gas be poisonous.
We shall see. Open the valve. Very slightly. What is that?
I don't know. I seem to hear music inside my head.
So did I.
Apparently the gas produces auditory hallucinations.
Open the valve again. Careful.
We
the people of peace. Greet the great scientist, the omnipotent, the maker of all.
I thought I had a voice.
This is the law of our people, laid down by our first father 10 million years ago. That always and ever there be this record of our race. For it is told that thou, in the fruitfulness of time, shall take back unto thee this ark, like unto that cylinder in which the first father and mother of us all came unto us.
I don't understand.
I am the last of our race, and the sun is cold, and desolation is upon the face of our planet. But in our time there was majesty and joy, and the gleaning of the fruits of the soil. For we have been the people of peace, and life was bountiful for generations, until that day came when in thy everlasting wisdom thou didst decree the end of all. Though there were some who wept, we did not query why. For we have been a happy race. We have followed the law of the first father, Alan, and of the great mother, Eva.
No.
And we have builded this ark so that there may be report of our deeds and of the fulfillment of the trust. Now I, Lamarian, the last of the billions who lived here, do lie me down into that last sleep, from which, if thou will, I shall awake unto the land which is thine. Hail, O great one, from the descendants of Alan and Eva, hail and farewell.
Good Lord, what was that?
And the Eva, Dr. Wensler, where are they?
They are beyond your reach.
What do you mean?
Don't you understand? All time is relative. 1 year of our time is one revolution of the planet Earth about the sun. Somewhere down in the microcosmos, my son and his wife found themselves in an atomic universe.
Of course.
And landed upon an electronic planet. That planet whirled around its sun, the nucleus of an atom, 1,000,000 times in the space of a second, our second.
Dr. Wensler, what are you trying to say?
That voice we heard is the voice of a human being, the last member of a race whose blood is mine. For in the space of 10 seconds of our time, Alan and Eva settled upon their microcosmic planet and bore sons and daughters and a great and peaceful race that lived and died beyond infinity. And my children, Alan and Eva, who founded that race, are dead and gone. 10 million years ago. 10 seconds ago.
Tonight, Dimension X has presented Beyond Infinity, an original radio drama written by Vierre Gerson. Featured in the cast were Les Damon as Arnold, Lotta Stavitsky as Eva, E.A. Krumschmidt as Dr. Wensler, and Joe DeSantis as Alan Wensler. Your narrator was Norman Rose. Music by Albert Berman. Dimension X is produced by Van Woodward and directed by Edward King. In a moment, we'll tell you about next week's show. And now, here is your Wheaties man, Frank Martin.
This is Ed Prentice batting for Frank Martin to bring you a word from a fellow most of you know. Lucius, would you step over here, please?
You bet, Ed. Folks, I'm Lou Kaplan. I've been playing shortstop for the Chicago White Sox practically forever.
Yes, it is practically forever. This makes your 20th season, Luke. You think it's going to be a permanent job?
Well, you know, Ed, I play baseball like I eat Wheaties. Just get set and plow right through. Wheaties and baseball just seem to go together. The Wheaties give me the energy to play more baseball, and a tough game gives me the appetite to eat more Wheaties. I think it's a real nice arrangement.
Well, Mr. Appling, if you're happy, so are we. Thanks a million to our real Wheaties champion, Luke Appling.
And folks, if you haven't had the pleasure of Wheaties lately,
have some tomorrow. Wheaties, breakfast of champions. And eat happy.
Next week, a strange story of other worlds. The story of the barbaric Potters of Thirst. Another adventure into the unknown world of tomorrow. The world of...
Dimension X.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen tomorrow night to Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
This program was transcribed. Stay tuned for Stories of the Underworld by Jack Late on NBC.